See, the keys are still there.
I don't think we have time, and Ways and Means is a bad spot to be with your bills right now.
I agree with that. We're going to open the Senate Committee on Education, and we have a few things to do today, and we might as well, we can move one bill. I can do that right now, just to carry it over. So we're going to, which one is it? This one? Oh. We're going to carry over House Bill 3319A. I don't have to open anything, I just need to say it. So we're going to do that right now because they're still working on some issues on that one. And with that, we're going to open an informational meeting. And in large part because this time of the session, there's a lot of different meetings happening that take our members away. And we had one of our members who had a family emergency, so he's not here. And a couple others that are working on some others, and so they were coming and going. And when we have enough of them here, we will move our bill, the other bill that we have on the work sessions today. So with that, we're going to open a public information meeting, and we'll call up Lindsay Capps, Rob Saxton, and Salam Noor. And I wish there was more of them here, Salam, because you're going to have to meet with all these people eventually. And for those people who are here, from my perspective and in talking to a number of our colleagues, we've had a really great deputy superintendent who's done a lot of stuff in our state, and we are sad to see him go. We also have a new person who has done a lot for education throughout his career, who is now stepping into that candidate position. And the governor has selected a person from education has been around for a long time to work in our office, and we wanted to have an opportunity just to have a conversation about where we are, visions of the future from the different people, and really start that conversation as we get ready for the next interim and then the next session. So with that, thank you all for being here. And whoever wants to start, however you want to start that part.
I'll start it out. Okay. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lindsay Capps, Education Policy Advisor to Governor Kate Brown. And on behalf of the governor, thank you for the invitation to come here today to introduce Dr. Salam Noor, her nominee for Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction. I just want to touch a little bit on what the governor was seeking in finding a candidate for this position to carry on the leadership that Chair Roblin, you just noted, of Deputy Superintendent Saxton. And there were a couple of things that she was looking for, and in the process we reached out to a number of legislators and leaders throughout communities in the state to get their opinion as well. The first thing was finding somebody that shares her vision and the vision of the state, and I think of this legislature, in building a seamless, integrated system of education from early learning through college and career. Someone who had has demonstrated proven on-the-ground leadership experience in our schools and school communities, achieving better outcomes for all students. Someone with deep expertise in education policy that runs the range of early learning to career technical education to K-12 and higher ed. Importantly, strong management skills to lead the Oregon Department of Education, and importantly there, to carry on the tireless leadership of Rob Saxton in guiding the department to be a strong partner to Oregon schools in ensuring the success of every Oregon student. That focus on equity is something that I think Dr. Saxton has demonstrated and contributed to the state. And lastly, the governor was looking for someone to be accountable, transparent, and serve all the people of Oregon in this leadership role. The governor believes Dr. Noor meets and brings all of these assets to the job in leading our K-12 public education system, and I want to just quickly tell you a little bit about his background so he doesn't have to tell you. But prior to joining the Oregon Higher Education Coordinating Commission in November as Director of Academic Planning and Policy, Dr. Noor served 6 years as Assistant Superintendent and Chief Academic Officer of the Salem-Keizer School District, which is the state's second largest school district and one of the most diverse. And Dr. Knorr served here as the Assistant Superintendent of Public Instruction at the Oregon Department of Education, where he led a number of student-centered initiatives that continue today. During his tenure in Salem-Keizer, Dr. Knorr was integral in implementing effective strategies in our school focused on better outcomes for all students, including expanding full-day preschool, especially for underserved students, the development of an early college high school model, and the creation of a career technical education center in really, I think, phenomenal cooperation and collaboration with local industry, which I think is a model for the state. And he initiated new models for to increase English language acquisition for emerging multilingual students. And lastly, I think was very empowering to teachers and staff in creating very dynamic professional learning communities in the Salem-Keizer district. At the state level, Dr. Knorr led ODE's Closing the Achievement Gap initiative, drawing attention to disparities in achievement between white students and students of color. He led the Oregon Literacy Initiative, which resulted in a statewide literacy framework that many districts are still using today. And he oversaw the revision and redesign of Oregon's current diploma and graduation requirements. I think throughout his career, the governor recognizes that Dr. Knorr has shown that he can engage diverse stakeholders in an authentic way and deliver results. He'll be a good partner to the legislature and lawmakers as policymakers. And the governor is very confident and excited in the leadership of Dr. Knorr and what he will bring to this job in unifying people and removing barriers to student success. And so we look forward to his confirmation by this body, hopefully before the end of the legislative session. Thank you, Chair Roblin, and the committee again for the opportunity to introduce him today.
Thank you very much. So should we go to you next, Rob?
I hope so.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair Roblin, Vice Chair Knoop, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Saxton, Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction. It's great to be here this afternoon. And it's particularly a pleasure to be here to introduce to you my replacement as Deputy Superintendent, Dr. Salam Knorr. It's a little unnerving when you contemplate stepping away from any position, and I've been honored to serve in the capacity as Deputy Superintendent and have found the work to be both important and fulfilling. And over the past 3 years, the department has done some really good work, and the people of the department have performed at a high level, been very proud of their work. Their effort around 40-40-20, the strategic initiatives, creation of a P20 system, improving instruction based on standards, and becoming a service-based organization have really been stellar. I've known Salam for, doing the math, I think I just wrote here well over a decade. I think it's actually been 15 years. I knew him when he was at the department and I was at a district, and I've known him vice versa when he was at a district and I was at the department, and we've had great opportunity to work together during both of those phases of our careers. He knows the work from a district perspective, and he knows the department. He cares deeply about kids and the education that shapes their futures. He's committed to equity and all the important work that we have underway directed at our aggressive 40-40-20 target. When he was announced as my replacement, I was confident he would hit the ground running and do a wonderful job. And now, as we've been partnering through the transition, which has really been a pleasure for me, that confidence has been fully reinforced, and he will do a wonderful job for the state of Oregon. And it's therefore really and truly a great pleasure for me to introduce to you Dr. Salam Knorr. I will just say, as Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction, soon to be confirmed. Salam.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Roblin, Vice Chair Knopp, Mr. Members of the committee. Thank you for inviting me to be with you today. For the record, Salam Knorr, currently with the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, and the governor's nominee to be the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction. I appreciate the kind introduction from both of my colleagues here to my left and my right, and it's really an honor to be sitting with them, and it's really an honor and a privilege to be considered for this role and to follow Rob Saxton. I've been a great admirer of Rob for many, many years, worked with him at a local level and a state level, and I think his impact on education in our state has been tremendous, and it's a foundation that I intend to build on in my new role with the Department of Education. Again, I just want to say I'm really, really honored to be considered for this role. I think it's an opportunity that I look forward to. It's an opportunity for me to serve Oregon students and schools and education in a new role. I'm looking forward to working with the legislature, working with the State Board of Education, education, business, and community partners throughout the state to build our capacity and to continue to serve our students and help them be successful in every way possible. I've been in education for a long time in Oregon. I moved here in 1997. I was in education in Utah, and I came here and worked at the Department of Education for many years. But my experience really spans the continuum from pre-K to higher education. I'm continuing to be I continue to be an adjunct faculty member with PSU, so I continue to teach because I love teaching, and that's the whole essence of education. So it's important for me to stay connected with students, although these are adult students, but nonetheless, the teaching and the practice is important to me. I look forward to bringing that span of experience to the Department of Education and to be able to serve at a state level. My recent experience in the Salem-Keizer School District helped me appreciate the growing diversity of our schools and students throughout the state and how enriching and exciting that is, and the importance of keeping the focus on student achievement no matter what. So we've gone through some really difficult times as a result of the economy, the recession for the last 5 or 6 years, and I think what helped us be successful in the Salem-Keizer School District is that we kept the focus on student achievement, and I know that that's what Rob has done, and that's what the department has been focused on during his tenure there. I recognize the challenges ahead, and I'm committed to working with all partners to expand opportunities for students so they are ready for school and that they can be successful and proficient by third grade, because that actually increases their probability of success later on in school and transitioning to either work or higher education. And I think it's imperative to really pursue that goal, because that will provide them the knowledge and skills that will help them be successful throughout their entire system and also throughout life. From my recent experience at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, I am ever more convinced that we have to make sure that our students graduate from high school with the knowledge and skills to help them be ready and prepared to take on all sorts of challenges. Most importantly, to be prepared to go directly to the workforce or to pursue further education, whether it's a community college, university, private technical schools, etc. I think it's really imperative to do that. As such, I think it's also important to continue to close the achievement gap in our state. I think we've made some progress there, but the achievement gaps continue to persist, not only in Oregon, but also nationally. But I think we've identified some strategies that helped us experience some success, and working with partners, we can get there. And I think we need to continue to focus on serving our underserved population in very targeted and intentional ways so they can also experience success in our high schools and throughout our K-12 system, but also as they transition to further education and training. I really share your urgency. I've been focused on higher education bills for the most part this session, but as of 2-3 weeks ago, I'm paying closer attention to pre-K-12 bills, if you will. And I share the legislature's and the governor's urgency to improve outcomes for all students. That's something I'm greatly committed to. Investing in early learning and strategies to increase student engagement, such as CTE and STEM, will improve our graduation rates and will better prepare our students to transition to the world of work or further education and training. Finally, I believe it's really important that we hold high expectations for all students at all times. And working together, we can create the right conditions and the right environments that will help increase student achievement for all students throughout the state, regardless of where they live, what school they go to, and what neighborhood they play in. So I am delighted to be here. I'm honored to be considered. I thank my colleagues for their kind introductions, and I'm happy to answer any questions or take any comments that you wish to share. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Knopf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give us your views on career technical education and how that fits with the education goals today?
God, you beat me to it.
Yeah, me too.
It's three of us.
Yes. Yeah. Chair Roblin, Senator Knopf, I thank you for the question, first of all. I think career and technical education is really a key component of our education system. Unfortunately, as a result of budget cuts over the last couple of decades, we've seen a decline in the number of opportunities that are available for students. Currently, I'm the co-chair of the CTE Revitalization Committee, the statewide committee, and I am truly grateful for the reinvestment in career and technical education in our state. So in my opinion, students should have the opportunity to participate in a comprehensive educational curriculum, and career and technical education is an integral part of a comprehensive educational curriculum. And we've seen through experience that students that are engaged in CTE programs have a higher participation rate, we see higher retention rates, we see higher achievement rates on actually standardized tests, and we see higher graduation rates. And those students are participating in the building blocks for our economy. So it reinforces the notion that education, pre-K-12 education or higher education, is really an investment in our workforce, is an investment in our economic development strategy as a state. So I feel it's absolutely integral that we have CTE opportunities for our students and really think broadly about CTE so those opportunities are integrated. So STEM, for example, provides us an opportunity to integrate CTE and math and science and technology in fields that we've taught separately in the past. So I think it's an important component. I'm delighted that the state is considering investments in that area, and it will increase engagement and graduation, I believe.
Other questions? I guess I'd follow up on that one, because I think, as I understand, the only school, I had an opportunity to go to Germany, and the only school that, when we brought them back here, that they saw and thought, whoa, they're doing it as well as we are, was up at Owen Sabin. I have understanding that Salem Kaiser has kind of gotten the next one. I haven't been over there to visit, yes. But my understanding and the input that I've got is that, well, if you think Owen Sabin's great, go to, I think it's McNary that it's at. I'm not sure. But Can you talk a little bit about what we have going here in the Salem-Kaiser District with regard to that kind of education?
Absolutely. Senator Roblin, members of the committee, thank you for the question. Again, it's really an opportunity to expand the options that are available for students. Some of these programs are fairly expensive, so it's really difficult to have them in all six or seven schools. We have eight
That's
still
good.
Thinking, slipping back to Salem-Kaiser. There are six comprehensive high schools in the Salem-Kaiser School District. There is an alternative school, and then we have what I refer to as a non-traditional school, which is the Early College High School on the Chemeketa campus. It's been historically an alternative school, but I think we've transformed it, so it's more of a choice school. In Salem-Kaiser, we have a community here that's really committed to career and technical education, and they've engaged the district and other partners for many years to develop different and new avenues for delivering career and technical education. And most recently, we developed a partnership between a philanthropist, between a community member here in Salem, that was willing to invest an enormous amount of his own resources to developing a career and technical education center for students. The focus was on really expanding the options and opportunities that are available for students and also targeting specifically underserved populations. So as we looked at that, we felt that it's really important to have a separate location like Sabin-Schellenberg, and we visited there and other sites, that would draw students from all schools. We initially thought about putting the center at one location, but we realized very quickly that the South Salem Saxons or the West Salem Titans would not leave their school to go to McKay for CTE. And the vision grew enormously over time. We started with a concept of a 10,000 square foot building, then it evolved to a 20,000 square foot building. And now I think the facility that has been secured and is being renovated is about 148,000 square foot building. And currently there are two programs that are offered there, and those were identified in collaboration with the business and employer community in this area that focus on manufacturing and construction. And there will be an additional 10 programs that potentially will go into this facility over the course of the next 5 years, provided that there are resources to support them and the board approves the implementation of those programs. But basically, it's the power of community. It's the power of relationships and private sector entrepreneurs working with public sectors like the Salem-Kaiser School District and designing a program that's focused on students. This will be another state-of-the-art facility, and it's one model, I want to emphasize, that's one model for delivering career technical education. In Oregon, we deliver CTE through the comprehensive high school, but some programs are very expensive, as I mentioned earlier, so it's really difficult to have a nursing program in every school, and it makes sense to consolidate those resources and bus students to that facility, just like they do at Sabin-Schellenberg. So it's a private-public partnership, and we're really excited and confident that it will yield great results.
Other questions or thoughts? I want to thank you for, at least to this point, you're accepting. That's a, many of us understand what the job you're partaking on is, and it will not be an easy one. We just, there are always a lot of issues around education. And I have also had the opportunity to know you for a long time. I can't even remember what the first time was, but yes. I think it had to do with maybe Perkins things a long, long time ago.
I believe it had.
So a long history of vocational interest and working with kids in that way. So I was very pleased when I heard the governor had decided that you were going to be the nominee, and I look forward to working with you, and I think the rest of the people here do as well. I look forward to continuing to work with you and the governor's office. That's been really helpful, Lindsay, and I appreciate the work you've done. And Rob, where in your short term, I know we'll keep working with you because you're going to be a part of the education fabric of our state. I hope that you keep the connections to lots of people because you've done. When I first started looking at what was happening in education, I was very disappointed a number of years ago, hoped that we would do something to transform education because I think it had lost its focus with respect to helping schools get better and do the other kinds of things we're doing. Asked you that question a while back in Ways and Means and went and checked on it, and what you had said was true. There's a lot of people around the state now who are seeing the department as a place to get answers and to ask questions of when it comes to subject matter or all sorts of other things, which we kind of lost for a while. And your efforts there along with the equity things have been pretty amazing over the last few years. So I thank you for your service and look forward. So anything else for anybody here? Again, thanks for taking the time to come over and be a part
thank
of this.
Thank you so much.
And look forward to having an opportunity to vote at one of these days.
Well, thank you. I look forward to working with you all. Thank you.
So we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2972A, and we may carry this over as well because I'm missing two of my members, and I need to talk to them, at least two, before we actually move it on. So, but I'm going to open it because I want to hear from our good representative who had Dash 5 amendments just to explain what those are. So we're going to open our work session on House Bill 2972A. And we'll have Representative Hayden come on up. And I appreciate the work you've been doing on trying to help us with some issues that came up at the beginning of this bill over here. So.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. My name is Cedric Hayden, State Representative, House District 7. We're talking about House Bill 2972 today. That did come through the House Healthcare Committee and went to the floor, got good support, and then has come to your committee. There have been several amendments that have been presented that you can find on OLIS. The first one was a Dash 2. Which I testified before your committee. I want to clarify that apparently there was a group email that came out to me shortly before the committee, but I wasn't aware of it at the time of the committee. I since have looked at the Dash 2. That was worked with some people that came up with the Dash 4. Again, I was not involved with that conversation, but I was CC'd on a group email with that. I worked with that as best as I could to come up with the Dash 5 that we felt to obtain the goals of both sides of it. That is on your OLIS today. About 20 minutes ago, we received a fiscal on that Dash 5 of $130,000, I believe, or thereabouts, which was a surprise, $135,682 of general funds. Because there was very little difference between the original bill and the Dash 5 bill. So my recommendation would be to go with the original bill as is. One of the conflicts in there, it calls out the Oregon Board of Dentistry to help write these rules, which I think is appropriate, and they had wanted to engage with the dental director. One of the problems, according to LC, with placing the dental director as it is in the Dash 5, he currently is not in statute. And so even though that bill to put him in statute passed, I carried that on the House floor today, it passed 59-0, it still needs to go to the governor's office to be signed. So my recommendation is go back to the original bill that had good support on the House side for it. I believe that it will start this process of bringing dental screenings in. I believe that it will allow for nonprofit organizations to engage with the schools much like they do with the vision and the hearing screenings, and for community dentists to be involved in the process. And really what we're trying to do is raise the awareness of oral health at the school age so we can catch the children that need that service. A dental screening is a very, very simple thing. We're not asking nurses or teachers to do exams or fillings, extractions, that kind of thing. So the original bill only had a $16,000 fiscal in it, and my preference would be to stay with that bill.
Some questions?
I guess that I would have is as I expressed when we had the hearing and you weren't able to be here, the dentists in my community do this already. I think all of Coos County now is getting screened. And it's all being done by dentists and dental hygienists and others. So it hasn't engaged or forced the schools to really do much other than basically schedule for those kids who hadn't otherwise had a screening. And many of them already do because they have their dental home and they're being taken care of. Is the intention of the bill, as it was originally written, to encourage that to happen in other places of the state? Do you see a need to have the nurse and the school nurse, as some people read it, be the person that's doing all this work and keeping track of all the records?
Thank you, Senator Roblin. No, the intent of the bill is to have access to these uninsured or uninsurable children that are at school with parental communication and consent for organizations that promote Healthy Oregon Oral Health to come in and provide those screenings. There would be a minimal amount of paperwork because we are asking that that documentation becomes part of the child's school health record. And so there is some requirement there that would take an administrative person to put that into the file. We are not asking for the school nurses to spend any amount of time. It was simply an option. If the school nurse wanted to be included, we were inviting them to be included, but it is not required.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you, and thanks for being here and working on these amendments. I was a little surprised at the -4 cost, and then yours at least brought it down. We tried to
get there to accommodate, but I think we can achieve the goal as the original intent without the cost. So appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I'm going to carry over House Bill 2972A to Thursday. With that, I'll close the work session today. We'll have a work session on Thursday as well. And then I want to just let people know, most people who are here know this, but Thursday is our last meeting that we can actually move bills. We will probably have a few more informational meetings. Right now on Thursday, we have a panel coming to talk about other kinds of health, those chronic health issues that all schools have to deal with. And we had two bills this year, or three, that had to do with could we provide services for kids that have adrenal insufficiency, could we provide services? Again, diabetes comes up on a regular basis because there's different issues, and there's more type 2 diabetic kids happening in adolescence these days than it used to be. There are other chronic diseases, and so our issue is to have a conversation with some health people about how do we help schools identify the need and what they can do when these kids that have these particular chronic issues come to our buildings, so that we don't have to have a bill every time to deal with it, but rather have a process by which we investigate what's going on, identify if it's a 401 or a different kind of a plan that works for that child with implant of our nurses in the district, healthcare professionals in the community, so that we can give the student what they need, i.e. an education, and allow the parent to feel comfortable that the student is in a network that will help them be successful there with respect to their health care issues. So it came up a number of times with our group. And then we have the following week another informational hearing that's going to deal with our OEIB bill that we had this session. And when we actually started to move the bill, one of the things we said is there's a lot more work to do with regard to the system and
We're going to have people come in and talk about those kind of things that they really want to emphasize that we work on the interim, so we can get a plan together and a calendar for the interim about how we're going to proceed on those kinds of issues. And so if there's other things that you would like to have raised that you maybe would be good to have some information on for the interim so that they can pursue those, anybody on the committee, let me know. If you're in the audience, you can let our administrator, Gretchen, have an idea so that we have some time. We're all in the building. Not everybody's on Ways and Means, and so in these meetings, or revenue, that keeps working, so that we can continue to have conversations, set up the kinds of things that we want to work on over the next 8 months before we get back here again. So with that, anything else or any comments? We're going to close our Senate Education Committee meeting for Tuesday, June 2nd. Thanks all for being here.